I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy probably, and what you'll be learning in this show and the next three from us are going to be all things involving the Togga game. We have John Mullen, who you may know as Fantasy Gaffer from Twitter. He's here representing them. We're going to talk about their upcoming game for the 17-18 season and some of the differences between the official game and this game, and maybe point out some players, maybe even do a sneaky mock at the end of this episode. So, John, without further ado, glad to have you back on. How have you been, man?
I've been good, guys. Thank you for having me back.
Great. Rob, I kind of went right past you there. I trust
it's completely obvious that you neglect the talent in the room and you just jump to the guy who's breaking time from his busy schedule. John, thank you for coming and joining us on our podcast. I am Rob Langevin, the partner in crime, co-host with Kevin. Blatantly forgot. He did it on purpose because I've been a jackass all day.
I was leaving the best for last or something.
Oh, God. Isn't that a song? Isn't that a Bette Midler song?
Leave the best for last?
Yeah, something like that. But
by
anyway.
Bette Midler. Who knows? Actually, it's my ringtone. Everybody knows that.
Do we have a fourth person on this show?
No.
No.
Oh.
We don't have any room for that. I'm going to talk for as much as four people.
a friend of mine at a bar here said, I'm way too much when I first walk into a bar, and used the saying, 10 people walk into a bar and 9 of them are Kevin. And I'm going to be honest, I'm not sure I really get it. So apparently I'm also dumb. But as I said, we are here to talk Togga things. But first, there's news that's pertinent to all fantasy players. We'll lead in with you, John, with the signing of Mo Salah, which seems as though it is happening probably by the time you've listened to this, going to Liverpool. It's going to move some stuff around. He pretty much only plays on the right wing, so whether or not that means you're going to move Mane to the left or Phil to the left and Mane up the middle, I'm not really sure. How do you see that working out for you?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, at 25 years old, I think it's a, you know, it's a good move for now and it's a great move for the future.
He's a very good player.
It remains to be seen if he's going to be a very good player in the Premier League. He's certainly, certainly proved his bona fides this year. But when I originally saw it, my gut reaction was this means Phil Coutinho's leaving, and it doesn't look like that's the case right now. So yeah, I mean this essentially is Champions League insurance and it's rotation and it's probably a nod to Klopp acknowledging that he was over-reliant on Sadio Mane last season and he was over-reliant on his first-choice front six, and that we need to have more depth in terms of the quality of starter, or I should say starter quality depth coming off the bench. I don't think Salah is necessarily going to be somebody that comes off the bench. Certainly Adam Lallana, you know, could make way. Liverpool could choose to play a little bit more of an attacking a lineup and use only Jorginho Wijnaldum and Emre Can in the middle, or you know, two out of the three if you include Henderson there. So I think there may be a bit of flexibility that can be read in the tea leaves here. There may be a little bit of squad rotation that can be read in the tea leaves. And when you consider that he got 29 appearances for Roma last season with 15 goals and 11 assists, I don't think that 2,487 minutes. I don't think he's a part-time player, but I think he's shown that he's certainly capable of producing like a player that's getting all 34-20, even if he's, you know, getting 1,000 minutes less than that.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting one. Rob, in the preseason of last year, we said, don't really buy on Liverpool midfielders because we weren't sure where they were all going to fit in. And then a fair few of them ended up in the top 10 in both formats, Firmino and Coutinho, of course, being two of them. How are you feeling about this Liverpool group going into next season?
So basically, this just throws another useful member into the draftable universe of Liverpool midfielders. You know, John mentioned basically every usable part there. Mane, you know, you have Firmino, you have Coutinho, you have Lallana, you have Chan, you have Wijnaldum. You know, you even have Henderson still lurking in the weeds there. Basically, out of all those guys, they're probably all still draftable in deeper formats, depending on what league format you draft in, whether it be 8, 10, 12. You know, it gets a little, you know, dwindling when you get into like 8 teams. I probably wouldn't get all of them on a team. But Salah, he performed well in Serie A. Like John said, 15 goals, 11 assists. I don't know how his game and his usability in Liverpool's attack is going to make him. I don't think he's a 15 goal, 11 assist guy in the EPL. I think he's probably 10, 7 maybe. That's probably his capability, because I think his minutes are going to be capped. But yeah. I do think that he's a definite play in people who play in other formats like DraftKings or things like that nature, because they do encompass, you know, Champions League play into their formats, and they do use similar scoring things into different fantasy formats. You know, not so much the official game, but Taga kind of dips into it a little bit as well, and other formats as well, like, you know, Draft 11. But we're not going to get into all them guys. But I like the signing for Liverpool. I just, you know, like you said, he's a strictly a right-handed side guy, and it's going to mess with Mane a little bit, I think. But I think Mane is capable enough that he could probably, you know, be versatile enough and be useful on the left side or wherever they choose to exploit him, and, you know, against, because he's basically a matchup nightmare for anybody he plays against. But I like the signing. I think Klopp is just extending his hand into talented, you know, mid-20 players who can basically do all the same thing.
So, Rob, at 9 and 7, that essentially makes him a comp for Mikel Antonio this year, who had 9 goals, 8 assists, posted 371 points in Taga's format. And in terms of overall points, Antonio wasn't great. I mean, he only got 29 games played, but he averaged 12.79 points per match. And that average, for people who haven't played Taga or any draft format before, if you have a player that is scoring 10 points per week, that is a no-doubt starter.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, somebody like Leroy Sané scored 10.31 points. Riyad Mahrez scored 10.28. So if your comp is somebody that's scoring, you know, 11.23 points, 12.79 points in Mikel Antonio, that's a guy that you can absolutely go out and draft in the 5th, 6th round and feel comfortable knowing that you're going to get good production out of him during the season.
Yeah, I completely agree that he's a draftable entity. It just, would I take him above Coutinho? No. Would I take him above Firmino? No. He's probably in the same draftable spot as I would say Adam Lallana is, to be honest.
I don't think Adam Lallana is going to play at all next season.
I think he plays more EPL games than he does Champions League games.
That's a fair point.
And that's the game we're talking about, correct?
It sure is.
Okay,
no expectations on a Champions League next year game, John?
For Adam Lallana? Yeah, guys, hold on 1 second. When does that open? We'll just bang one of those out real quick.
September, I think.
The second round of
the qualifiers is right now.
So wait, hold on. Before we jump too far off this, I know we have other stuff to talk about, but when you look at crowded midfields, I think the two that come to mind most quickly are Liverpool's and Manchester City's. Mm-hmm. So are you looking at Salah, Rob, or Kev? I mean, somebody that's sort of comparable to like Leroy Sané, or is the comp a little bit lower down the list for you? Maybe somebody like... I guess you'd have to go outside that and maybe do a player that's joining Arsenal and Riyad Mahrez. Like, what is your comp, Rob? Are you comfortable with dropping the Antonio comp on him, or is there somebody else that
How about a Manuel Lanzini comp?
I mean, that's a very different situation, though, because Lanzini is the guy at West Ham.
I understand that, but production-wise, that's the player that I think that he could be at Liverpool, given the minutes that I think he's going to get. Like, I don't think he's a max 90 guy every week. You know, I guarantee he probably, total minutes from every game, he'll probably miss like 6 games total with minutes, you know, minutes missed and games sat. So, yeah. I mean.
I like the Sané comp of the, when he's on the pitch, he's going to do stuff. Is he always going to be on the pitch? No. I like that a lot. I think it relegates somebody to the Sterling role of a very talented player that isn't getting the minutes on the other side of that like 70-30 split. But Sterling may get the minutes this year. That's going to be such an interesting situation. For those that don't know, one of the reasons why this has happened is because they've signed Bernardo Silva, who is probably the long-term heir apparent to David Silva, but can also play out on the right, which is where they already have Sterling. It's where they sometimes autofill De Bruyne into their 11 when they can't find another spot for him. It's going to be... Those two teams are going to kind of be a mess in terms of gambling, which players are going to slot in where. But yeah, I honestly couldn't tell you as of right now. Another situation like we saw with Chelsea last year, where you had Willian, Pedro, and Hazard. Obviously, Hazard was basically starting every match, but Willian and Pedro were switching. And then sometimes Fabregas was taking one of those slots. I just think that these are teams that are going to be very concerning this year, and unfortunately is the downside of basically all of the big clubs getting back into the Champions League this year, is there's going to be a lot more rotation in those teams.
Yeah, which I think makes for really exciting drafting in rounds 5, 6, and 7. You know, after the big names like you guys already mentioned, after Coutinho's off the board, after Eden Hazard's off the board, Christian Eriksen, and you start looking for upside plays over guys that are getting regular playing time. I mean, is it exciting? You know, Snodgrass is, you know, maybe not the best example, or maybe somebody like Robbie Brady. You know, if you're one of those guys is getting regular minutes, are you more excited to have that player in your side, sort of the Joe Allen back in the day play? You know, you're going to get 90 out of him and a 7 or 8 point performance. Or do you want to take a guy that you think is going to be a high upside guy? He might only get 29 starts, but when he gets 29 starts, you think he's going to be in the top 20 performers at his position in a given week. And I think the game right now is just chock full of those guys, and I think it's exciting to watch, and it's exciting for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Moving to Liverpool's, not to be too American, but here we go, crosstown rivals. Everton already making some moves. They add, I think he was second in target scoring last year in goalkeepers, Jordan Pickford. I know he was second in saves in the Premier League last year with 135. He goes to Everton, obviously immediately a much better option than Joel, what the hell are you doing, Robles? And Martin, I'm 10 years past my prime, Stecklenburg. What do you guys expect to see at Everton? Because for me, I think the fascinating thing, and John, we talked about this on your show, was how there are kind of two molds that you want from a keeper, right? One that's going to be more of a clean sheet guy, or one that's going to rack up all those save points. And I think Pickford's in an interesting situation because obviously they're still without Coleman for basically the first half of the season, is how things are looking right now because of his double leg break last year. Don't Google it. Not the timetable. Don't Google the injury because it was real gross. But I think it could be interesting. I think Pickford could actually be like more of a saves guy the first half of the season, then have a very good shot at keeping plenty of clean sheets down the stretch.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So Pickford came in at 244 total points. He averaged 8.41 points per match. The only goalkeeper that outpointed him on a per-match basis was Tom Heaton, also the only goalkeeper that finished ahead of him in saves, as you mentioned, Kev. Goalkeepers are one of the positions where if you're new to draft and you've been playing the FPL official game, you know, salary cap game, goalkeeper scoring is fairly consistent across the two. Target does score 18 scoring categories, including aerial duels won, successful clearances, obviously, you know, goals, assists, clean sheets, but successful take-ons and tackles won, you know, a lot of that stuff doesn't impact goalkeeper scoring, is the point I'm eventually going to get to. But clean sheets, very valuable. Saves, very valuable. When you look at the top scorers, it was Heaton, 142 saves he was credited with. His official tally is a little bit different, but he was credited in live play, meaning not counting any scoring changes that were made more than 24 hours after the end of the match, and kept 10 clean sheets. Hugo Lloris in second with 78 saves, but kept 15 clean sheets. Pickford sitting there in fourth, despite the fact that he only got 29 matches played, Kev, as you mentioned. Rob, you weren't part of the conversation on Talk and Taga, which is what Kevin just alluded to, but are you in the same camp? Are you drafting for saves, or are you drafting for clean sheets?
Well, when it comes to Pickford, I think Kevin hit it exactly on the nose. I think that he brings possibly the best of both worlds because it has to deal with the players in front of him. Like you mentioned, Coleman's injury is going to detain him from the lineup for probably the first, you know, 8 to 10 weeks of the season. So looking at that, when you lose a viable fantasy, you know, asset in front of you, like a Seamus Coleman, who is, by all accounts, probably their best defender and, you know, offensive defender as well, that does take away from his value. But at the same point, you do get points for saves. So I think that, you know, you're basically robbing Peter to pay Paul in fantasy speaker, because you are going to get – you are going to have some kind of clean sheet awareness, because Everton by no stretch, they're not going to be the worst defensive team without Coleman. They'll probably be, you know, top 12, I would say. They're not going to be, you know, bottom two or three. But I don't see them being, you know, like an elite top six, you know, team where they don't give up any goals and he basically clean sheets the world. But I think they give it up enough opportunities that Pickford can, you know, grind out enough fantasy points a la Tom Heaton. That was a great comp that was just mentioned, you know, and give you enough value that, you know, he probably draft wise and probably even in the official game wise, you know, he's probably going to be one of the most coveted defenders or goalkeepers because of the team he plays on, because of his last year results and what people can expect from him. So, I mean, I'd probably be looking at him as probably one of the top four goalkeepers off the board in a draft format.
Yeah, interestingly enough, I just did a mock draft, a 10-team target mock draft with 9 people off of Twitter. And the first goalkeeper that was taken was weighted all the way till round 13 out of 16. So again, for people that haven't played before, you draft obviously a full starting 11. You also are able to draft 5 bench spots so that you're able to make substitutions in and around kickoff. I mean, it's 16 total rounds. So in this game, we took 160 total players. First goalkeeper off the board went to me in round 13, pick 8, Tom Heaton, which sparked a little bit of a run. The next pick off the board, Jordan Pickford. Next pick off the board, Hugo Lloris. Next pick off the board, Harry Maguire, who I think we'll get to shortly.
Yeah.
But exactly right, Rob. I mean, right there, when you're looking to start taking those first handful of goalkeepers, I think Pickford's definitely in the mix.
Yeah, and in a draft format, like John just mentioned, the run on goalkeepers is going to happen, because once somebody sees somebody's always going to reach inevitably for the top two guys, whoever they think they are in their minds, whether it be Courtois, Cech, Lloris, any of those guys. One or two of those guys is going to go flying off the board early, probably like, you know, round 9, 10. Somebody's going to be stupid and not who to pick, and they're going to pick a goalie. And then after that, whoever takes the second goalie is going to start a ginormous run. And, you know, Pickford and anybody else who wasn't picked after the first one or two guys is basically all in play there until you get to probably about the sixth-ranked goalkeeper in any formats, depending on who you believe is still going to be there to come, you know, kickoff for the EPL season.
Yeah, I will say when we did our draft, I was surprised that I didn't see Matt Murray or Marc-Andre Fleury in the goalies list, but, you know, whatever. It seemed a strange oversight considering they have...
You're in the wrong sport, sir.
Excuse me, sir. Are you talking about the Stanley Cup champion Penguins? I think you're talking about the wrong thing here. anyways, sticking with Everton, they also bring in Davy Klaassen from Ajax in the Eredivisie. Kind of seems the heir apparent to Ross Barkley, who is expected to leave. Although if he doesn't, it'll be very interesting to see how they get both of them to just constantly box the box together, I guess, hand in hand. 14 goals, 10 assists, and 33 matches in the Eredivisie last season. Or is this somebody that we're buying in on regardless of what happens at the club? Because if there's no Barkley and there's no Lukaku, obviously the scoring potential of Everton plummets.
I'll jump in. I think it's funny that we're referring to a 24-year-old as the heir apparent to a 23-year-old. But apart from that, I like Klaassen. I would draft him. Ademola Lookman obviously had an excellent U20 World Cup with England. Congratulations to the young Lions.
Yeah.
And that team has potential. Yannick Bolasie, I was chatting with Premier Injuries' own Ben Dinnery over email earlier today, and Ben's thought is that Bolasie may be able to come back in 2017 after originally prognosticating that it would be 2018 before we saw him come back. People shouldn't sleep on Bolasie. You know, he was excellent before he went down injured. If he can come back even at a fraction of, you know, probably a high fraction, 7/8, you know, 9/10, something like that. But if he can come back at that type of fraction of his early form with Everton, they should be all right. The loss of Lukaku is only going to be the only way you need to have a like-for-like there in order to retain any kind of value. I mean, do you guys think anybody comes in there that makes Everton look attractive? I guess the good news is that Lukaku's agent saying that there's no deal done with Chelsea, or there's no deal to be done with Chelsea. Mm-hmm. So it may be that he sticks around Everton for one more season, drives that price up a little bit further, waits for, you know, the world to get a little bit crazier, and maybe is, you know, the first $200 million player next summer.
Ooh, that's high and lofty expectations. I mean, I mean, we're still talking about Klaassen here, right? I mean, what is he going to bring that me and Kevin can't hate on Ross Barkley for doing?
He actually scores goals, is the thing.
Well, I mean, but is that a given? You know, I mean, necessarily a given? I mean, he's coming from a division or, you know, a league that is considered, you know, at least two steps lower than the Premier League, correct?
It depends on what you mean by two steps lower. I think it's in between Championship level and Premier League level.
Okay,
the defending, obviously, not nearly as good, but Klaassen's finishing ability is still there. Although I said the same thing about Jansen last year.
Yeah, so I mean, what is the reasonable expectation for him? I mean, he's like John. I'm actually like the exactly what John said. He's 20. He's a 24-year-old replacing a 23-year-old. So what more is he going to do to the Everton buildup and offensive display that Barkley probably couldn't do? If this whole his whole season basically hinges on what Lukaku is going to be or not be there, so I mean, if Lukaku's not there, Everton's team is basically completely different, formatted, differently played, and everybody is going to basically be changed fantasy wise. So I mean, in a draft format, John, where would you safely take it, Klaassen?
So it's interesting. You said I'm in the middle of actually creating my initial draft cheat sheet right now, and I have Klaassen slotted into being a fourth tier midfielder. And for people that don't know, you know, we sort of break down players, not only ranking them, you know, for midfielders, for example, I'll rank the top 50, so 1 through 50, and I have him in the top 50, but, you know, the top maybe six being, you know, Hazard, Ozil, Mane, Coutinho, KDB, those guys, you know, those are Pogba, those are first tier midfielders. I think Klaassen's right around tier three, tier four. He's probably inside the tiers. I haven't ranked him yet, Rob, but I have him somewhere around the 20th midfielder. And as a comp for last season, that would have put him right around Robert Snodgrass, Nathan Redmond, Andros Townsend, which, wow. You know, those are not exciting comps, but those, you know, Mahrez, 10.2.
John, you still with us?
I'm still here if it matters.
Okay, well, it looks like he cut out there. But one thing he was alluding to about whether or not he goes to Chelsea or not, Lukaku, I mean, is it won't be Lukaku or no one. Like, there will be a replacement.
I know. But is the replacement level player going to be what Lukaku brought to Everton, is what I'm saying. He basically is the tip. You know, and basically everything runs off of him. Even the wide side play by Coleman is dictated by how much attention Lukaku gets in the center.
True. Yeah, they definitely funnel inwards towards that point, as they say, at the tip of the spear. We will now go on to eulogizing one departing Everton player. Barcelona are activating Gerard Deulofeu's buyback clause for around 10.5 million pounds. Is he not the biggest failed potential in recent FPL times?
Is Bojan Bojangles in that conversation as well?
Yeah, but it looks like he is coming back to Stoke.
All right, but I'm just saying that, you know, the thing I don't like about Deulofeu is, you know, he looks like a Ferrari on the pitch when he's actually playing, and when he's not on the road, he drives like a, you know, a Subaru 1982 hatchback. I heard he's just a dog off the pitch in practice, and he's a coach's worst nightmare. So good riddance to Jerry Day. I've said fond words about him thousands and thousands of times, but when Barca comes calling, you go.
Especially when you're legally obligated to, because it was a buyback clause.
Yeah.
John, what did you think about Gerard Deulofeu's brief, tumultuous stint in the Premier League?
Yeah, I think he should have gotten more burn. He's exactly the kind of player that, you know, you'd sort of term a, you know, either a sleeper or a post-hype sleeper, meaning a player that, you know, sort of is going to get drafted later in drafts than his potential would would suggest, you know, some other players like that. I always go back to Hatem Ben Arfa during his Newcastle days. I used to love drafting Ben Arfa late and then suffering through it. Adama Traore this past season would be another great example. Maybe Jordan Ibe for Bournemouth after his £14 million transfer from Liverpool. So, I mean, there's a lot of those kind of players that are going to be around out there. And, you know, during the course of the summer, and I'm sure you guys will talk about it, I know we'll talk about it on my show as well, how do you sort through those players? Who's a, you know, who's a good choice, and who's, you know, as Rob just said, who's a Ferrari that drives like a Honda? You know, is that what we're going to get out of Mitrovic this year for Newcastle, or is he actually going to come up and be able to score 12 Mitrovic? Goals?
I don't think he's even going to play.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. But, I mean, he could be like a very good goal scorer. How about Matt Ritchie? Matt Ritchie was so bad last season, he had to go down to the Championship. I mean, he refound himself with Newcastle, but he's got no Premier League bona fides. Where are you guys taking Matt Ritchie in FPL draft?
Jonjo.
Yeah. Which one? Which one? Jonjo Kenny or Jonjo Shelvey?
Sure. Either, but I was talking about Shelvey, aka Voldemort in disguise.
Yeah, but John, I'll actually jump in on your question. Matt Ritchie's one of those guys where somebody's going to have a love affair with him in probably like the fifth round and take him, and you're going to look at him and be like, oh, I should have taken the first guy on a newly promoted team that's probably going to do nothing.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to get Matt Ritchie on any team. Because I feel like in every league there's going to be that guy that's high on him.
Somebody's going to reach for him. Yeah. I'm going to tell everybody at home listening to this, if you're doing this for strategy, and we'll get into that probably in other podcasts after this one, don't reach for anybody in this. There's tons of talent going around. Find a couple sleepers for yourself that, you know, do some research. Everything about fantasy is about research. You know, you can't just go into a job and not know what you're doing and just pretend.
I will say the caveat to that is if you have bookend picks, then sometimes you have to reach if there's a guy that you really want. But,
absolutely.
But again, as you said, we can talk like more in-depth strategy on a different show. To wrap up the recent moves, John alluded to it earlier, Harry Maguire, Starlet, if you want to call him that, which I just did for some reason, moves to Leicester to replace one of two 30-plus center backs. So you assume he's going to get the minutes. Last season, played 25 matches, did have some injuries. He was top 5 in shots on target at his position, which made him very good in the FPL game. But he was not top 15 in any other defensive stat. And as John mentioned, all those stats, the aerial duels, tackles won, interceptions, all of that stuff counts in target clean sheets as well, which he only kept 4 of. In a whole defense that obviously conceded plenty of goals.
Yeah, he did make 132 clearances, which is good news for the move to Leicester. With Leicester, you're going to have Wilfred Ndidi still playing in front of him and doing his best N'Golo Kante impersonation, which means that there should be plenty of balls trying to be teams that are attacking Leicester should try and play the ball over the top to cut out the middleman.
Sorry, how many clearances did you say yet?
132.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. In only 29 appearances, right, which is, you know, pretty good rate. And I like Maguire to kind of pick up some cheap, you know, what we might call some cheap points there, where he's going to allow Ndidi to do the bulk of the yeoman's work and then come in and either make an easy interception on the ball, which and pick up a point, make an easy clearance on the ball. And Leicester will hopefully allow him a little bit of room forward. Certainly, they've shown that in the past with Christian Fuchs and Robert Huth, that they have no problem allowing their defenders to come into the box on set pieces. And Maguire showed this year with 2 goals and 3 assists that he's got some capability in the attacking third.
Yeah, I like this move, especially for Leicester. I think they needed somebody sound there with some kind of movement capabilities besides Wes Morgan, who... Sorry, Big West, but I love you. He just not cutting it out for a Premier League defender anymore. Like movement wise, Huth is just the same. It's like the Walking Dead of corpses. I like Maguire there. I think his ability to get forward, put balls sort of on or near the goal, because there was a big string there where he had the most attempts on goal without actually hitting the goal for a while for a defender.
That was like 2 months.
he was in like the 40s.
Yeah, he finally did get there, by the way. So yeah, trust in the regression.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I like the move for Leicester. I think he's a quality defender. He's probably not your defender one in a draft format. He may not even be your defender two. I probably put him in that third tier of defenders, but he's definitely the second draftable Leicester defender behind Christian Fuchs now.
I'd take him over Fuchs.
Sorry, do I?
I would. I wouldn't zero chance.
I would take him over Fuchs. Yep, absolutely.
Fuchs still taking crosses and stuff? You're smoking dope. A lot of it.
Okay.
Christian Fuchs had an awful year last night. He still scored 313 points.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with any of what you just said. But I would probably take McGuire first.
Interesting.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
While we're talking about center backs, I just realized there is somebody else that's relevant due to his U21 success thus far, which is Alfie Mawson. Scored another goal, this time for England. Obviously scored 4 goals last year, which is tied with some number. I don't remember for defenders, but I think the top one was 6. So not too far behind. Did not play every match of the season. As of currently, Sigurdsson is still at the club. What do you think of Mawson next season?
Well, he shouldn't score 2 own goals again, so I like him better than his stats indicate. I like him just fine. I'm a little bit worried that Swansea's making the drop next year, and defenders on teams that make the drop are not particularly good. I mean, one of the things that many people mistake when they are drafting FPL players is they want players on good teams, and they particularly want defenders on good teams, but there are plenty of points to be had from defenders on bottom half and even occasionally on relegated teams.
Like Boro last year.
Absolutely. I mean, with Colm Chambers, Fabio, Bernardo even, and George Friend, they had players that were serviceable every week. And while people may be sitting there scratching their heads and wondering why we're talking about any of these players, for people who are truly new to draft and have stuck with this podcast this far, in draft...
First of all, thank you.
Yeah. But in draft, literally, one player can only be owned by one owner. So when you have a 10-team league, 160 players are, in fact, rostered. So while you may want to own, Leighton Baines, Marcos Alonso, and Antonio Valencia, the reality is you're probably going to be starting somebody like Ben Gibson or Maya Yoshida or Joel Ward, on a given week. And so all of these players merit consideration, and some of these players will be taken near draft, and some will be added to your roster as time goes on through the season. That said, I still don't know. Yeah, I don't. I'll just throw it back to you guys because I don't want to get into.
But you don't like Alfie Mawson.
Yeah, because I really like Alfie Mawson, but I don't want him in my fantasy team.
Okay.
Like I really like Alfie Mawson. Like I have a personal affinity for him, but I'm just very concerned about Swansea.
I agree. It does look like staying. I think if we had to pick teams right now, I think the majority of all three of us, I think I guarantee Swansea would probably be in 2 out of the 3 of the 3 teams we each mentioned. But there is benefit to having a defender on a lower level team. Burnley was not a stout, fantasy option because they didn't score many goals and they're not the shiniest toy in the toolbox. But they still had fantasy value there because the defenders did stuff for them. Michael Loughton, Ben Mee, they all contributed last year.
Michael Keane scored a few goals, yeah.
Yeah, Michael Keane,
Michael Keane was top 10, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and Loughton and Mee they're on the first page of guys I'm looking at, so they're in the top 30. So, I mean, there's value on teams that you don't expect to be anywhere decent in actual games, but in fantasy they do eke out enough value. They're like John said, there's 160 players being drafted, so you need to find guys on basically every team that are going to contribute to your weekly team. you know, you're going to have to draft four or five defenders to you know, have a viable roster with, you know, substitutes, injuries, and, you know, matchups. And I think Mawson is the perfect fourth to fifth defender that you're drafting based on form and fixture for the Swans this year.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And just real quick, some names that finished in the top 20 of defenders. So again, if you're playing in a 10-team league, even if everyone is starting three at the back, top 30 defenders are arguably being started every week. Gareth McCauley, Michael Keane, Steve Cook, Ashley Williams, Matt Loughton, all finished in the top 20 at the end of the season in terms of total points. So the guys aren't just viable FPL players. They are every week FPL draft starters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although you probably do want to play matchups with some of them. But
yeah, absolutely.
But if you played them every week, yeah, they would still be in that top 30. All right. Well, you mentioned the draft format, which we got to far too late in the show. But as you said, in draft, you each go through. It is snake format. For people that don't know that, it means it goes 1 to 10, 10 to 1 if it's a 10-team league. We are going to do a quick version here. But, John, any more rule things that you want to articulate to people before we do that?
No, I mean, some of the language that we've been using maybe is a touch new to people. So you said bookend. Other people will use in the wheel or in the turn, meaning if you're drafting last in the first round, you get back-to-back picks. So if you're the 10th team, you might be sitting there, you know, upset that you're watching these other players go off the board and you're stuck with the 10th pick. That's true, but the benefit is you then also get the 11th pick. And having the turn in at the end of the first round, and then alternatively, if you're the first pick, you will then have the bookend picks when the even odd round turn comes around again. So you'll end up with the last pick in the second round, but then the first pick in the third round, and so on.
Which would be 120 and those picks can be incredibly overall.
Yes, there you go. And those picks can be incredibly valuable. As Rob said earlier, you know, you can help manipulate the draft. You have an opportunity to kind of look at the survey the entire field and pick the players that you know, are the best available at that time. And sometimes you can take two guys in the same position and really cause a shortage. One of the things that we're seeing, and I'm sure you guys would agree when you do your own ranks, but once you get past the top seven or eight forwards, there is a noticeable drop off. Once you get kind of past that Christian Benteke forward, there's not really another great option. And people are, you have to start reaching then, you know, for like a Troy Deeney or a Marco Arnautovic or a Fernando Llorente. And so if you're sitting there with the first overall pick in the draft and you don't take a forward and it comes back to you, you know, at pick 20 and 21, you know, you may be sitting there and saying like, I'm going to take Josh King and Jamie Vardy right here. Mm-hmm. And that might not be great value in terms of the players that are still available, but you could cause a huge shortage and you could really hamstring a lot of players in your draft, and you could watch them scramble and draft these players that aren't as good, like, you know, maybe a Jermaine Defoe or Sam Vokes, that leave really good players on the board for you again when you get your next two picks back. So there's certainly strategy to it. It's a great time, and I'm looking forward to, you know, maybe doing a short draft here with you guys and talking through it a little bit.
All right.
That sounds like fun. I'm ready for it. He just hyped me up. John's a good hype man.
There's a reason he's known as the Flava Flav of FPL.
Yeah.
And that's what the F stands for. Flava Flav Premier League. Nobody says that. I'm sorry. That was a weird joke. But now we will quickly move on.
I'm the Justin Bieber to your Floyd Mayweather.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. We don't need to talk about that fight. But that's going to be real dumb. Everybody, just end up watching Canelo versus Triple G. That's the actual fight here. I cannot
wait for that fight.
Get twisted. Well, I know it's going
to
be so good.
The funny thing about that fight now is that they have to change arenas, or they're going to have to buy out Ice Cube. You hear that?
No, what?
Because Ice Cube has the Play 3 tournament, which is the 3-on-3 tournament where the winner gets $250,000 or whatever it is, and they booked that arena the same night.
Wow.
So they may have to move to the T-Mobile Center, which is in Las Vegas or wherever. It's in Vegas.
I'm 95% sure that the business model for Ice Cube's league there was just book arenas and hope something else wants to buy us out.
Well, the funny thing is that there's actually like former NBA players all playing in the tournament.
Yeah.
Tracy McGrady's on one of the teams.
Oh, T-Mac out here all day. All right. Well, I think it's time for us to do a little mock draft action just so people can see what that looks like. John, you're our guest. You can go first. Rob, we recorded way later than you wanted to, so that's my fault. So you can go second. I'll go
third. I love how you make excuses for draft choices.
Yeah. Well, I was going to do like a trivia thing and then didn't do it. So here we are. So, John, we talked about this on your show, but you get pick 1-1. Who are you going with?
All right, do you each want to take two teams in the first round, or do you want to just play a three-man draft?
I was just going to do three-man. It makes it quick, 15 players.
That's perfect. That's great. I'm happy to do that. I will take Alexis Sanchez, and I will note that Alexis Sanchez is properly rated as a forward in Taga. There are some positional differences. Taga uses Opta's default positions for players at the time of draft. So, for example, Alexis Sanchez is a forward.
Show on that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there's three guys that it really impacts. It was like Yannick Bolasie, Raheem Sterling, and Alexis Sanchez. Oh, and Josh King.
Pedro.
I think Sun might be a forward next year, but anyway, we can talk about that more. But John takes Alexis first.
I'm going to take Alexis.
Rob, who are you going with? All right,
well, I'll go second, and since Kevin was going third, he knows exactly who I'm taking. I'm taking Sir Harry of Kane.
I did not know that. I would have made myself go second. I will go with... Oh, man, I'm going to sound like such a homer, but Hazard's hurt.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Eriksen, 3. And then as we talked about, this is where you have a turn or a bookend. So I go 3 and 4 with my 4 after just slating him. I'll take Hazard and hope that he somehow heals within the month time frame. It looks like he's only going to be out of the season. We're back to you, Rob.
I will keep it all City, and I will go Kevin De Bruyne.
I like that KDB pick there, but I got to ask you, Rob, why didn't you try and double down on fours and take Romelu Lukaku right there?
Well, we're only in a three-team draft, so I know I'm going to get another forward.
I'm a
fantasy guy at heart. I've been doing this for, you know, this is actually, if I started my first draft when I was 14 years old, and I just turned 40, so everybody figured it out. I drafted my first baseball team when I was 14 years old in gym class. So this is my 26th year of doing draft style of anything. So I'm kind of like a, I'm not saying an idiot with this, I'm just dumb.
You and I drafted our first teams in the same, no, you drafted 2 years before me.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, only it's crazy. One or two before me also.
Mm. One or two before you were born. Yeah, we got it.
Yeah.
So I am going to go with Rom Lukaku with the last pick of round two.
Yep.
With the first pick of round three, I'm going to take anybody want to guess?
Firmino.
There we go. Bobby Firmino is off the board. And so one thing that I just want to talk about right here, I would normally never go three forwards in a row. Because I like to draft a little bit for positional, for roster formation flexibility. So while, you know, we're doing this in a three-man team, if you're playing in four people or six-person or an eight-person league, there's almost no chance you're going to be able to line up, you know, Alexis, Lukaku, and Firmino. What I would typically do there is I would probably take somebody, like maybe somebody like Adela Ali or Gylfi Sigurdsson, and start to build out that midfield so that in weeks where my forward's hurt, or I think that he's going to get rested. You know, I think Firmino's going to get rested ahead of midweek Champions League play. I would be able to bump out and go 5 midfielders. Mm-hmm. You know, you almost always want to go 5 midfielders at the back over 4 or 5 defenders at the back, unless you happen to have built a team entirely of wingbacks, meaning that you have Patrick Van Aanholt, you know, you have Danny Rose and Leighton Baines and a handful of others that are unlikely to all end up on your team.
Mm.
Yeah. It's definitely draft with the mindset of how you want your best players to be in your most functional lineup every week.
Yep.
So don't draft like you're if you're initially going to draft 4-4-2, stick 4-4-2 until something bad happens to your team injury wise, or you know, somebody gets transferred out, or you know, some basically keep it by hook or by crook or by attrition is basically the best way I can say it. But going with a plan, either go, 3-4-3, 2-4-2-4-4, whatever you want to do. Just any just keep the form that's allowed in the Playtaga format in mind when you're drafting, and try not to deviate that too much, unless you start getting pimped and you start like losing positions, like John mentioned before, where big runs on positions go, and forwards is very, shallow.
Yeah. So Rob, who are you going to take in the third round here?
I'll go an obtuse pick for me, because if Kevin knows me, I'll go Paul Pogba.
Interesting.
Oh, I was hoping Pogba would make it all the way back, so that's a nice pick.
I think
with what's going on with United there, I think that, I think he could, what we saw last year was maybe just the tip.
Yeah.
And Pogba's a really interesting one, too. We didn't touch on this yet, and maybe you guys will in the next few episodes, but a lot of players are more highly valued in Taka than they are in draft because of the different categories they score in. Pogba, with just 5 goals and 4 assists, was essentially a useless player in the official game and wasn't much better in money games. But because of the number of take-ons that he has, successful dribbles, aerial duels, won, clearances, incredibly valuable Taka player.
All right, to wrap the third round and start the fourth round, I am going to take Sergio Aguero. And, man, this is tough. I'm going to go Coutinho over Ollie because of set pieces.
Yeah, I could see that being an effective way to take it, but I'll take Dele Alli then.
Yep.
I got 2 in a row, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm gonna square up my midfield since I have none, and I'm gonna take perennial FPL darling Gylfi Sigurdsson.
Mm-hmm. And just assume that if he moves, it is still in the Premier League.
That's correct. And then I'm gonna double down on Liverpool right here and hope that Mane remains a midfielder. I'm gonna take Sadio Mane.
All right.
With the 16th pick, and I have to tell you, I have not seen Sadio Mane go with the 16th anywhere outside the top 10 in any of the mocks I've done. So happy with that pick.
Yeah, I mean that's a quality pick. I like Mane. I was hoping that I actually wanted to go different. I just wanted Ali. So Mane was my 1B pick there. So if I didn't have him, you'd have him. So so it's on me now, I will go and. And this is the point of the draft where you start looking at names that are, questionable to be there. And
this is the last round for us, man. So you got to make it count.
So I'll go with another defenders, or are we just taking anybody?
No. We're just going top 15.
I missed the rules.
We're only going 5 minutes. Oh man. All right,
do we want to keep going? We can keep going.
I want to keep going. This is awesome.
All right. These teams are so much better than our 12-team experts league. Yeah. And this faster.
Yeah. Oh my God. Jeez. I'll take Christian Benteke.
How's that? Ooh, I love Benteke. I talked about this on John's show. Led aerial duels by almost 100. Like, it's just free points on the board. Do really like that pick. I am going to go. Oh, man, I don't think he's going to be in the Premier League next year. I won't go Costa. I don't believe it.
I was going to say, this is the point where you start looking at names in the Premier League list of players, and you're like, well, is he going to be there? Is he going to be there? Yeah. Is he going to be there?
I will go Alonso. And then are we keep going?
Yeah.
I don't know what number we're stopping at if we go past this, but fine. So I'll go Alonso. And then I will follow him up with, man, I'm so midfield heavy, but let's do it. I'm going to go Ozil and just have basically all of the creators.
You're going to have every creator. You're going to have Cedric the creator. And
yep.
So I'll take
going into rounds. Gabriel, that was 6-1. Now it's you.
I'll take Jesus.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a money pick. I can't believe you snaked out. He'd make it all the way back.
Mm-hmm. I will say, my concern about Alonso right now, though, is where is all of this Alexandro talk coming from, and why is it happening?
Yeah, it doesn't make a ton of sense to me, but
You did this last year.
It's more like pouting. It's more pouting because
Conte can't get the guys he wants, so he's going elsewhere.
So it's like, let's just get three more left backs. Because you already have Azpilicueta, who played there for years, even though he's... Mm-hmm. At what point is he no longer a right back, I suppose, is a fair question. But, yeah, it's just a silly thing, considering they could have Azp, Alonso, and Alexander, who could all play left back.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take Ross Barkley, who was actually sixth in key passes this past season. No matter where he ends up, he's going to be a chance creator. And the fact that he only scored 5 goals to go with his 11 assists, I think he's on pace to score at least 12 points per match, no matter where he lands.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Fair enough. And then I just realized we'll do an 11 rounder, because then we can each have a starting 11. Just makes things
easy. Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. And then I'm actually going to pick a player that I think stays in the Premier League, and I really like to have a bounce back year this year. I'm going to go Riyad Mahrez right here.
Ooh, do you think he moves to a bigger club or not matter to you?
Well, I mean, I would love for him to be the Alexis replacement at Arsenal. If Alexis moves to Manchester City and they use that money to buy Riyad Mahrez, I mean, Mahrez is a top five. In my opinion, he's a top five FPL draft player at the end of the season, but you can get him in the third round.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
Yep, not a bad show.
I'm just going to go Crystal Palace crazy, and I'll take Wilfred Zaha.
All right. I like where your head's at. Now that he's been crazy bypassed, now is going to be my gamble on Diego Costa, not Douglas, who apparently is no longer coming to the Premier League. That ends round 7. And to start round 8. I'm going to go the other Crystal Palace thing. I think he continues to improve. He had a really good back half of the season. I'm going to go with Townsend. And then, Rob, it's back to you, and then back to John.
Since I basically have a whole team right now minus defenders and a keeper, right?
Because we're basically drafting.
Yeah, I guess there's no better time than any to take a defender, and I'll take Danny Rose.
All right.
I'm sorry, Kev. Who'd you take from Palace?
Townsend.
Thank you.
I like the Rose pick. It looks like he may just be out the first 2 weeks, but in a format where you own a player for the whole year, that matters very little.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, because there are going to be a handful of players that fit that, including another player that I'm about to take, but Virgil van Dijk is still injured, but Virgil van Dijk is a monster in FPL, and even if he moves from Southampton, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about my love for Harry Maguire, because he has Wilfred Ndidi playing in front of him to kind of scoop out all the bad chances. Well, Virgil van Dijk has the much underrated Oriol Romeo playing in front of him. Romeo does an excellent job of cutting out a lot of the danger, leaving the scraps there for VVD to really feast on. And for fantasy purposes, he has feasted mightily. So I like van Dijk there a lot. Because we're picking an 11, normally I would not pick Virgil van Dijk over a lot of the names that are left on the board. And just to highlight a couple real quickly here, but like Manuel Lanzini, Josh King, are probably the big ones right here, but also, you know, even players like Nathan Redmond or Henrik Mkhitaryan, who's probably not going to get a lot of burn in this, is an excellent choice for like a mid-round pick. I'm going to double down on defense and go Leighton Baines after my VVD pick.
Nice. I like it. I'm going to keep it Spurs just to piss Kevin off, and I'm going to go Kieran Trippier.
Ooh, you think Walker does move then?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. Well, if you think he moves, then that means I will take Kyle Walker, who would then be at a different club, probably Manchester City, probably paired with Vincent Kompany, who is, I don't know if you guys have heard, real good. Immediately made City's defense much better. So I'll go with Walker there. And... ooh, I will wrap around with Eric Bailly, who I think is going to have a phenomenal year. I think he's already one of the 5 best center backs in the Premier League, and I think that will continue to reflect itself. And he gets to play for Jose Mourinho, who doesn't know how to play anything other than park the bus, even at the starts of matches. So I'll wrap around with Bailly in round, that'll start round 10. Just two more rounds left, and we all need keepers, so I guess that'll be round 11. Yeah. So this is the last round to get players you actually want.
Yeah, I'll take another United defender. I'll take Antonio Valencia.
Yeah, I like that pick a lot, Rob. The last two defenders here for me were down to either Antonio Valencia or Cesar Azpilicueta, and since you've left Azpilicueta for me, I will take him. Cesar was the second highest scoring defender behind only his teammate Marcos Alonso last season, and he did it while scoring only one goal.
Yeah,
he did pick up five assists. There we go. And that matters so much for a defender. I know I rolled the dice early on two guys that have had recent injury history in VVD and Baines. And when you're constructing a roster, you need to also mitigate your risk. So if I'm going to take a couple of risky defenders early, I want to make sure I'm getting somebody solid on the back end, and Azpilicueta fits the bill there.
All right. And I'm going to start
round 11 with Tommy Heaton. No, I mean, the man was number one by 100 points last year. He's most saves in the Premier League last season. And frankly, that Burnley team does not look one bit better this year.
No, I agree that Heaton's going to have sneaky good value. And I'll take a guy we talked about. I'll take Pickford just to keep it different so Kevin doesn't cry that he doesn't get Lloris.
You already took like three Spurs players. So all you're saying is that Tottenham are just as good as Chelsea. So it's whatever. I will fall into Homer tradition here, though, and go with Lloris. But let it be shown that I took
Coutinho. Make him eat it. Take Michel Vorm. Take Vorm. Just do it.
I will take Paul Lopez, who are currently in a contract battle with Espanyol over. All right. Well, this ran a little bit longer than we were aiming, but we had a very fun time doing this mock at the end. John, as we're doing these shows for you and the fine folks over at Togo, why don't you tell the folks anything you'd like?
Yeah, so you can find Tugger. We're going to open the game in the beginning of July. Before that, there will be available an FPL guide. This season, Tugger put together a guide for all of FPL, so not just our draft game, but you can use it for playing other draft games. You can use it for playing FPL official, or if you want to get a jump start on playing the money games for when the game opens, when the Premier League kicks off in the middle of August, you could do that as well. That should be available the first week of July, and I'm sure you'll see it out on everybody's Twitter feeds. You can find me at Fantasy Gaffer, and you can find Taga at PlayTaga on Twitter, as well as at www.playtaga.com, which is where you can find the game. And links to the mobile app. We are iOS and Apple for both our weekly game and our draft game. And we are fully mobile draft. So if you wanted to host your draft right from your mobile device, you are certainly able to do that. And I look forward to hearing you guys chat some Taga during the rest of the summer.
Yeah. Well, it was fun, John. Thanks for coming on. Of course, my name is the partner in crime who got forgotten about in the beginning. My name is Rob Langevin. You can find me on Twitter at Smokey_Loogie. You can basically find me wherever Kevin goes because I have no life and he is the host with the most and I'm the comedy relief, I think. And you can find my writings and stylings on Razzball.com.
And hopefully at blog.playtaga.com starting in August.
Coming soon, I will be on blog.playtaga.whatever he said.
Wait, just.com. That was the easy part. The rest of it was the harder part. I am Kevin DeVries, the host that forgot to introduce Rob second, and will ironically never... Well, he'll never forget that I forgot him this time.
Never, ever.
I am at Kev Ruff on Twitter. You can pretty much find me only there over the summer. Some behind-the-scenes stuff over at Goal. That'll also be coming out sometime in July. And obviously we'll be doing both Taga duty and official FPL duty once that game comes back as well. But yeah, in the
interim, Kev, can I jump in real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
If people want to participate in a mock draft like you just heard Rob and Kevin I do, please get at me. Just at me at Fantasy Gaffer. I'm setting up drafts that we're doing over Twitter or email, whatever's easiest for people. We've done three so far with followers, and we'd love to do some more.
We should do a mock with the three of us and some listeners.
Yeah, anybody listening who wants to have a draft and have us do it, just add us on Twitter and we'll join into your draft.
Tag the three of us at Fantasy Gaffer, at Smokey_Loogie, and at Kevroff, and we'll see if we can get something going like that. Great idea, John. That does it for us today, though. Big thanks to Taga for putting us on this particular series of shows. We should be back weekly here at least through launch, question mark?
At least through next May.
John just dropped, so we're just going to say that that's what's happening. But thanks so much for listening.
That's what's happening.
Okay, yeah. Oh, you're back. Great, cool. Yeah, so definitely through launch. So be sure to keep it tuned here. As I said, playtoga.com, blog.playtoga.com, where you can see all kinds of terrific content. Thanks so much for joining us, John, and thanks to you for listening at home. We'll catch you next time.
Peace.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.